Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I welcome to the show the CEO of True North Retirement Advisors, Ashley Michikay. Now, Ashley specializes in designing, building, and implementing custom design exit plans to help her business owner clients secure their final and most important decisions, the exit from their business. She says that she is on a mission to help 300 small business owners transition successfully into retirement in the next 10 years. So in this episode, she's going to share a lot of really important information. She's going to share why it's important to value your business as the very first step, meaning you need to know what it's worth now and what you can do to improve it. Establishing what your timeline is for exiting your business, determining what your business exit goals are, who do you want as your successor? Do you want your business to remain local? Do you want to step away slowly, or do you need to get out now? And what is your gap? Where do you need to be financially when you retire, and where are you right now? And how do you close that gap once you've identified it? Ashley, good morning. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. This is a big topic, and it's not just for brick-and-mortar businesses. It's also for people like me who are based out there on the Internet. I mean, my office is in my home. So I'm really looking forward to having you share some tips, tricks, and advice.
Well, thanks, Denise, for having me. I'm really excited to be here and to share my ideas with you and your audience.
Well, I was looking at your website, and I was looking at all the different things that you do. And I have to tell you, I'm very impressed. You're very young to have accomplished so much of what you've done. And, wow, good for you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so tell people a bit more about yourself, why they should be listening to the information that you're about to share, and just basically anything you think is relevant to the conversation.
Sure. So I actually started my first business when I was 8 years old. So I have a background and kind of a entrepreneurship runs through my veins. So my dad and I started True North Retirement Advisors together, and prior to that, we worked at big firms together for about 10 years before we did that. So I was really excited we were going to be, you know, actual business owners together. And, you know, at the same time, when you're running and when you're starting a business, you kind of have no idea what you're doing, and I really felt that way. I was pretty terrified. You know, it's a huge leap of faith for anyone who starts a business, especially at the time I was leaving a pretty cushy job. I had no idea if my clients would come with me, and I was potentially blowing up the only career I had ever known. So it was very scary, but it was exciting at the same time. And what ended up happening, so there was about 2 years in planning that went into launching True North. And when that train got on the tracks and started moving, there was no way we were going to get off. And in fact, we had to launch a week prior to when we had planned to, because some things had happened and kind of fallen apart with our old firm, and we needed to get out sooner than we had planned. So what ended up happening during this time is that I thought it would be a good idea to get pregnant and have a child. And so my second child, my son, he was only 3 months old when we launched True North. So I don't recommend that ever. but it was, and I was thinking about it as a, you know, this train analogy, because if you're, you know, we were kind of stuck on this train, I had no choice. But successful small business owners and entrepreneurs, they know how to kind of get the train on the tracks, get the train out of the station going forward. But when it comes to exiting our business, most entrepreneurs, most small business owners, they don't know how to get off. And that's scary. So I've watched a lot of clients exit their business and do so successfully with all the financial security they needed. I've also witnessed some pretty poorly planned exits that left millions of dollars on the table, you know, literally watching business owners walk away from their business, put the key in the lock one last time, and leave their business with nothing. So
why would they
do that?
We'll talk about that later. Hang on to that question. Why would they do that?
There's a lot of reasons, yeah. So, you know.
That's insane.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the goal. And my background is in 401k consulting, and it became apparent to me that I needed to really focus on exit planning and talking to my clients about how they were going to exit their business, either transfer it to an insider or a family member or sell it. And the catalyst for that was back in 2013, I had a client who had never had a conversation about the exit from his business. He was a third generation family business owner, and he was in his mid-50s, pretty healthy. And then I got a call one day because he had died suddenly of a heart attack. And I watched from the sidelines as his business just deteriorated over the next couple of years. And they ended up selling the business to an East Coast competitor for pennies on the dollar. And most of the employees who had worked there for 10, 20, 30 years, who were very close to retirement, lost their jobs in the process. So it was very difficult to watch. And after I witnessed that, I came away with the realization that I really need to start having these conversations with my clients, because I do at the time, and still today, we have a lot of business owner clients, but no one is talking to them about these things. You know, you have a team of people, whether it be a CPA or an attorney, but they're not usually not coming to you and saying, hey, you know, Joe, we really need to focus on your exit now and helping them with that process. So no one's having this conversation with business owners. So it's really up to the business owner to think about their exit and what they're going to do to plan to make sure that it's successful.
Ashley, why aren't people having these conversations? Look, I understand why people don't think about the exit strategy. I mean, I'm just now starting to think about my own because I have to worry about my business partner. I need to, you know, get some steps in place so she has access to everything. It doesn't become part of my will. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to think about. And honestly, I get it because you're so busy going to bed and waking up and going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, did I do this? What's going on? And you're in go, 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 go mode all the time. You don't want to think about slow down or get off. So I completely understand that. What I guess my real question, though, is why aren't other professionals aware of this and saying, okay, yes, we want to build you, but, you know, everything has a beginning and an end. Let's go through all of the steps. So it sounds like it's very important work that you're doing is my point.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, and it's true. And this is no fault on other financial advisors or CPAs or attorneys who tend to be the core of the team that works with a business owner outside of, you know, say a business broker or a mergers and acquisitions person or deal attorney. So those other people would get involved in kind of the later stages of wanting to sell your business. But, you know, really the most business owners should be thinking about their exit from the beginning, which is almost no business owners do this because we're just trying to start and run a successful business. And we get so busy with our head down, or worse, you know, the business is running you. And so the exit plan and thinking about your exit is really putting back control of your own destiny with your business. And, you know, everybody kind of focuses on their niche. So the business owner is focused on running his or her business. The CPA is focused on the tax side of things. The attorney is focused on making sure that you stay out of lawsuits. And so, you know, everybody's kind of just focusing on the here and now, and the planning your exit.
And they're
really
staying
requires
in their own lane, basically.
Exactly. But
okay,
the difference with exit, the difference with exit planning, Denise, is that it requires that everybody involved, including the business owner, kind of puts their heads up and takes that 30,000 foot view, looks ahead to the future, and starts, instead of working, you know, you hear things, you hear this concept of business owners, the problem with all of us is that we're too busy working in the business and we need to work a little bit more on the business and devote a little bit more time to that. And that's really hard to do because it takes this long-term focus and it's distracting from the day-to-day running of the business. But in order to exit successfully, business owners really have to do that. And part of my role is to make sure that they can still, I'm the one coming to them and saying, okay, here, now we do this, now we do this, now we do this, and kind of facilitating that whole process so that they don't have to devote as much time to focusing on the exit strategy. They can refocus on the day-to-day while pausing periodically to do certain things along that path.
And that makes perfect sense, but it is really important to have that at least thought in your head so you can kind of be percolating and saying, listen, I don't want to work the next 10 years from dawn to dusk and weekends. I'm having that conversation with myself. I mean, it's really,
yeah.
you build, and you're just, you know, I'm guilty of doing exactly what you're talking about. I don't have an exit plan on paper just yet, but it's in my head. You know, I've had conversations with you. I've had conversation with another guest that are, you know, is very similar type of thinking, and it's percolating. So now it's like, what do we do? And it's very, very important that I get this done soon. My business partner just lost her husband last weekend. So we're all going to go one way or another. We're either going to exit our business or we're going to pass, you know, off this mortal coil. But it is something very important to think about. So when you say, you know, it's tough, it's really tough. So when you say take that 30,000-foot glance or look, what do you suggest people do first? I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to do this. And then 3 days later, you're like, ooh, that was on my list for Tuesday. Oh, okay, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. What are some steps that people should take to really get focused on this?
Well, and you mentioned it earlier, Denise. There are three steps that are really required in the initial phase of thinking about and planning for your exit that apply to all business owners. So if your business is worth $100,000 or if it's worth $100 million or anywhere in between, these are the three steps. And it's valuing your business and then establishing your timeline and your goals and then understanding and discovering what your gap is. So the first step is valuing your business. And some people would disagree with me on this. They might start with establishing your goals and your objectives and what's most important to you. But if you don't know where you're starting from and you don't know what your business is actually worth, then you can make some pretty poor decisions along the way. So we have to know what the business is worth. It's kind of like valuing your business is a lot like putting in your current location in your GPS. If the exit from your business is where you want to go, your destination, and you want turn-by-turn directions, we have to start by telling the GPS where we are right now. And where we are right now is the value of the business. And I find that immediately when I mention valuing your business, people kind of roll their eyes and they think, nah, I'm not going to do that, because they have this misperception that valuing your business is expensive. It's going to cost, you know, $10,000 or more. It's going to be disruptive. Someone's going to come in and ask me for all my books and records. They're going to ask me a bunch of questions. They're going to talk to my employees, ask them a bunch of things. They're going to talk, you know, they're going to just disrupt everything, and I don't want to do it. But through the use of technology, there is now a way that you can value your business with a few pretty high-level pieces of information. This is like your revenue, your pre-tax income, accounts payable. These are things that if your books and records are reasonably clean, you can gather this information and get a very strong estimate of value for your business that can serve as a starting point in 5 to 10 minutes. So it's the number one thing that I found with clients that helps them to get unstuck, really has the motivating factor, because now they know what their business is worth. Before, they might have been using a rule of thumb or just kind of guessing, but now I know that my business is worth, you know, $3.1 million, and this is what I'm going to do. Maybe I need it to be worth $5 million in order to exit. So it informs all these decisions that I'm now going to make along the way about my timeline and my goals and the things that I do to plan for my exit.
Now, didn't you tell me in the green room that you have a tool that you can share with people that they can start to, you know, begin the process of finding out what their business is worth?
Yes. So I have a checklist with the 8 pieces of information that you need that will provide that strong estimate of value. So that's available. I also provide lifetime access to the valuation tool where you can go in and enter those 8 pieces of information and it will spit out the estimate of value instantaneously. In fact, the value updates as you enter the information. So it's a really powerful tool for understanding what your business is worth, and it's available to your listeners, anyone who wants to use it. And you can not just once, but you can go in 10, 20 times. You can go back 6 months from now. You can do a hypothetical. If I change this in my business, what would be the impact of value? And we can talk about it at the end, but if your listeners go to truenorthra.com/valuemybusiness, all the resources and all the links, the checklist, everything, access to the valuation tool, it's all right there.
Excellent. I have that link in the show notes, but not everybody is going to go to Blog Talk Radio to listen and find the show notes, so I will make sure that I put that out on social media as soon as we're done here. So basically, and I love your analogy, you have to, the GPS, you have to know where you're going to go. And as somebody who is chronically lost, even with GPS, that made sense to me because you do have to have a starting point. So what else do people need to do? I understand why it's really important to value your business. Honestly, it's not something I would have thought of. And here's another quick question. I spoke earlier about, you know, people who, like me, who work online. And we do not have brick-and-mortar businesses. Your tool will help us as well, won't it?
Yeah, there are, I believe there are like 50 million businesses in the United States in this tool. And I use the example of a dental practice quite a bit when I'm speaking. And because most people, I think, understand how a dental practice works and what the model is there. And just when you, if you were a dental practice, there are 370,000 offices of dentists in this database across the country. So just in that one small niche industry alone, you have 370,000 other businesses. Because and the reason why that's important, the comparative data is important because business valuations, different industries have different valuation metrics. So, for example, a business in my industry, often kind of the starting place is 2.5 times revenue, where in a manufacturing industry, the metrics for what drives value may be completely different. So the fact that you can see how your business stacks up against other businesses both locally and around the country is powerful. And it provides that comparison data. So you can see, oh, there's 65 other businesses in my industry in the, you know, local region, and I rank 6 out of those, which is also attractive for value because if you're on the higher end of businesses that others could potentially buy in your industry, you're going to be more attractive than someone who's on the lower end, which could allow you to charge a premium for your business value as well. So a lot of benefits for understanding what your business is worth.
Oh, no kidding. And I think most business owners are competitive by nature. It's just who we are. So I would think just on a purely kind of emotional level, you go, ooh, I'm 6, oh, I want to get to number 1, or I want to get to number 2. I'm 100, crap, I need to get to 50. You know, so
yeah.
I would think that, you know, just by looking at that, you can kind of kick your creativity and your competitiveness into high gear. Do you see that?
Yes.
Does it happen?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not wrong?
And Well, no, I'm extremely competitive as well, and I think a lot of business owners, they just like to win and hate to lose. But the other thing, too, is I actually find, even more so than that, that it's just, I just want to know. There was a study done 3 years ago that found that only 2% of business owners even know what their business is worth. So almost everybody has no clue what their business is worth. And so, you know, it scratches that curiosity itch as well to find out what your business is worth, even if you're not that close to wanting to do anything about it. But at least if you know what it's worth, you can, you know, do the other steps on the exit path. But if you're farther away and you thought it was worth X and it's worth half that, well, okay, now we know that we need to take some steps to increase the value, which can be very valuable as well. Because as you might realize, and as a lot of people who are successful realize, what gets tracked gets done. So if you're tracking this, if you're keeping tabs, if you're shooting for a specific metric, you're much more likely to reach that versus if you were just floating around in space and hoping that everything turns out okay.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, a goal is not a wish. You know, a wish is just,
yeah.
You're in la-la land, you're in dreamland. A goal is something concrete that you can go after. Okay, so you just mentioned something important. Excuse me. Exit path steps. Let's continue down that road.
Sure. So now that we know what the business is worth, we move on to step two in the exit path, which is establishing your timeline and your exit goals. And This part is really interesting. This is actually my favorite part of the exit planning process, because most business owner clients have never been asked these questions and they've never thought about them themselves. Like, one of the first questions I ask is, how are you involved in the business today? And then how do you envision your day-to-day involvement changing over time? And that's really important for establishing the timeline. And I love this question because most business owners will say, well, like, I do everything. I do this and this and this. You know, I'm working 60 hours a week, Saturdays and Sundays and evenings, and I would like more time. And so the unique thing about businesses that most employees of, you know, who aren't business owners don't have is that you don't go from working full time to retirement date, collecting your gold watch, and then being full time retired. Most business owners can and do kind of slowly transition out, which is very, you know, it's a huge benefit of being a business owner. If you can adjust your day-to-day involvement, put the right people in place to replace you, put the right systems in place so things run smoothly without you being around, you have the time to continue to be involved in the business, maybe maintain ownership in the business, but then dial that back. And so that's you're coming from when you decide to exit and you've already done that and dialed back your day-to-day involvement. You can then go out and exit your business, or if you want to sell to a third party, you're negotiating from a position of strength because you're not burned out, you're not ready to be done, you've already put everything in place to allow you to step away from the business, which is going to be very attractive to anyone who takes over the business, the fact that the business no longer revolves around you. So that is a very important question for business owners to ask themselves, or their exit planner to ask them, because it really frames, you know, how far we need to go in terms of making sure that this business no longer revolves around you when you want to exit.
That just makes my heart hurt, because I just do in a good way, because honestly, I'm doing everything that you described. It's really been all me. I have a team. You know, I have great people that work with me, but honestly, I'm the face of the business. I do most everything, and I shouldn't be, and I know that, and I'm wearing out quickly. So, you know, that's another reason I wanted to have you come on as quickly as I could, because it's so important, you know, to have that exit plan before you burn out, before you walk off and just go, heck with it, I'm leaving, and leave that money on the table. I do not want to do that. Let's finish the path, and then if you don't mind, I'd like you to give us a couple of examples of how and why people just walked off. You know, what in the world were they thinking? So let's come back to that after we finish the exit path steps.
Okay, so a couple other things to think about in terms of establishing your timeline and your goals, and I'll just go through these real quickly, but they're important to mention and think about. So one is, will you need to sell your business in order to retire? For a lot of business owners, most of their net worth is tied up in their business, so they do actually need to sell. And that's a different, we might do different things if you need to sell versus I'd like to sell. And then the other one is, who is best suited to take over ownership after you exit? If you sell to a third party or an outsider, that business, you know, the culture may change. It may not stay in the community. That's a very different situation than if you were transferring to a key employee or a family member, where the business is likely to continue a very similar culture and stay in the community. So a lot of what's important to the business owner and what his or her objectives are and what they want to have happen after they leave and the kind of legacy they want to leave with their business is going to drive a lot of the decisions and a lot of the people you talk to as a potential next generation owner of the business. So those are a lot of the considerations in establishing the timeline and the goals. And then, of course, we have family considerations and family businesses as well. So there's a lot to think about there. And then once we kind of establish the timeline and the primary goals, then we can move on to discovering your gap. And so what that means is that we know the value of the business. We know what the timeline is for the exit. So this is really the last step before the paths kind of diverge and you go in different directions depending on who your successor is, what the value of your business is. But the goal with this step in discovering your gap is to understand if you have the financial resources both from your business and on the personal side to exit your business how and when you want to. And most people have a gap. So I think something like, 2/3 or 3/4 of business owners would actually exit their business today if their financial security was assured, but it's not, so they have a gap. So there's certain steps that need to happen here. When we take the combination of the value of the business with your personal resources, let's say the combination of that is $2 million, but you need $3 million in order to exit. But if you told me you want to exit in 3 months, well, now we maybe have to extend the timeline, maybe, you know, a year or 2 years, and make progress on that total value of X before you can exit. So the key with this, though, is that if you start planning far enough in advance, you'll have a lot more options to kind of close that gap, however big that it is. So that's the idea behind discovering your gap, is just understanding how big the gap is, if a gap exists, because then we can take steps either on the personal side or on the business side to work on closing the gap.
Now, when you say gap, give us some examples, if you don't mind, of the gaps that you see probably the most commonly. I can kind of guess at what a few of them may be, but, you know, our audience is probably going, I don't even know what a gap is. What am I looking at?
Yeah. So a good example was I was working with a client recently who he wants to exit pretty quickly, probably within the next couple of years. And there are other owners in this business. He's not the only one, but his after-tax business value is going to be about $600,000. And then he has an investment portfolio that's worth about $2.7 million. So he's done a really good job outside of the business of saving as well. So he has about roughly $3.3 million if he were to exit and retire today. And so we look at that and we look at what you could draw out reasonably as an income stream from that size portfolio. And then we combine it with his Social Security. He also has a rental property. So he says, you know what, I need X number of dollars in income when I transitioned into retirement. And what we found is that he was about $40,000 short when you combine all of his income sources after he transitions into retirement. So the gap for him that we need to close is pretty large. So we need to either grow the value of the business, accelerate his retirement savings. Maybe he needs to work another year or two longer, which oftentimes will sort of naturally close that gap without doing anything different. So does that kind of clarify and answer your question, Denise?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I guess I didn't even factor in that you have to take your personal and your business and then figure out what the rest of your assets are. If I'd sat down with a pencil, I probably would have figured that out, but it's not how I'm thinking right now, so it's good to know. So, but here's the thing. I mean, there's no way to recession-proof most things. So do you actually give advice to some of your clients and say, listen, the rental property might be bringing in $3,000 a month right now, but if something happens, do we have a backup plan? I mean, I'm sure you take all that into consideration.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, when we get to this stage with clients, technology is amazing. We take all of this information and using a separate tool, it's a financial planning software, it will live your retirement 1,000 different times in good times, bad times, and we run it against a number of different scenarios, stress test it, and see what is the chance of you running out of money. And so we want all of our clients to retire reasonably confident that they're not going to run out of money. And there's no way to say 100% certainty because life happens, things happen. But if you transition into retirement and you have some flexibility because you're not putting stress on your portfolio, or you don't have to have a renter, certain things could go south and you would still be okay, or you have the flexibility with your income to be able to, in a recession or a down market, to be able to kind of dial back what you're withdrawing, then you're going to have the most chance of success. And I find what most people think about, and this is a big error on the most part, but we've been told this, there's these commercials out there. I won't name the company who has this commercial, but they walk around with signs like, this is my number. I need 800,000 to retire. I need $2 million to retire. The actual value of the portfolio doesn't matter. What people in retirement care about is what is my income stream? How much income do I need in retirement? And then how do I take all the sources of what I have, whether it's my assets or rentals or Social Security, and combine those, what's the sum total of that, and is that going to be enough to provide for me in retirement? So the big, $3 million number doesn't matter so much. What matters is how that translates into an income amount for retirement.
And that makes perfect sense. I don't know who the company is. I don't watch TV, so I have no idea. But
well, good
one
for
question,
you.
I cut it off years ago. One question, though, is do you also, when you're looking at all this and you're taking that 30,000 foot look, do you also just kind of do a laundry list of where you can go leaner? What can you get rid of? For me, cable was one of them. That was not even a second thought. It's like, nope, I don't watch it enough to justify it, and it's garbage anyway. But do you also go, okay, look, here's where the money's coming in, here's where you want to be, but if need be, what can you get rid of? Do you take a look at that as well, or should you?
Oh, yeah, because one of the ways to close the gap would be to lower your retirement lifestyle expectations. Now, most people are very reluctant to do that. Nobody wants to transition into retirement and say, thank goodness I was able to retire and reduce my lifestyle and cut back on all these things that I was able to do when I was working. Nobody really wants to do that. So You know, I commonly see clients who will downsize their house. That's a really common thing. You know, if you plan ahead, a lot of people will end up paying off their mortgage early in retirement or by the time they retire, which is very wise to do because it's often one of the biggest, you know, budget line expenses. And if you can get rid of that in retirement, you know, that's pretty ideal. So that's definitely part of it. The key with that, though, is you really have to know what you're spending every month, and not everybody does. But there are always one or two areas that surprise clients. Like in my own spending, I don't think I spend that much on eating out or, you know, that includes coffee because I don't go to fancy restaurants and blow, you know, $200 on a steak dinner. I can't tell you the last time I did that. But I'll go through the drive-thru and I'll go get coffee. And those little things that I don't think much of, they really do add up. And so what ends up happening is I spend way more on eating out than I think that I do. And I find that there's always one or two areas of surprises where you might think you spend X and you spend like twice that on whether it be groceries or eating out or, you know, whatever it may be. So we all have our weak points when it comes to spending. And but it's hard. Most people are just so resistant to cutting back, and you really have to be dedicated to it and have a really good reason for cutting back. Now, if that means that if I cut out, you know, maybe going on vacation for the next 3 years, but I can retire 3 years sooner, well, maybe that's a trade-off that I'm willing to explore. So
I can understand why people don't want to cut back. I mean, you work your fanny off to get where you are. It's yours. You're proud. You're living large and driving a really nice car and, you know, doing whatever it is that you want to do, and all of a sudden you have to scale back. I think that's more of a psychological issue, isn't it? It's not a, you know, a numbers thing. It's like, why? Why do I have to do this? I've worked all my, why? I mean, I can see me standing out in the yard going, no! So I totally get that.
Yeah.
So what else do people do? Where else should they be looking? I mean, clearly, they need to start thinking about it. But then what's the next step? Do they, you know, take the assessment? Do they talk with their financial planner? Where's the best place for them to start?
Well, valuing the business and establishing the timeline and the goals and discovering your gap, that does require some outside assistance. I mean, you could kind of pencil and paper and estimate some of those things. But once you get deeper into the weeds, and start making a plan, you know, then you really need to get your CPA involved because you have to understand the after-tax value of your business. You know, there's the pre-tax value, and then there's the after-tax value of what your business is worth, and those are two very different numbers. So once you get going on this path, it really requires some involvement of some outside expertise and advisors. So, you know, and I always tell people, you know, I don't care if you work with me or, you know, if your CPA or your attorney is your primary exit planning advisor, but you really need to work with someone who's going to walk with you on this process, make sure that you're doing the right things, because you could do 100 different things in planning the exit from your business. But we just want to focus on the things that are going to have the most impact in either driving the value upwards if we need to increase value or ensuring a successful exit. So, you know, maybe certain business owners, you know, tax minimization, that's a big deal for a lot of business owners. But if you've already kind of taken the steps to do a lot of those things and there's not really much more that you can do, well, then we're not going to focus on that area. We might focus on, you know, making sure that you retain your employees through the transition, your key employees, because if they leave a month before you sell to a third party, then the value of the business can plummet. So you need someone to walk with you during that process and make sure that you're not only taking the steps necessary, but that you're addressing things that you didn't even necessarily know were things that you needed to to look seriously at.
And see, now you're addressing some of the things that I mentioned earlier. You know, what should you be identifying? What should you be looking at as you kind of look at how you're going to, you know, say, I'm going to sell it to my son-in-law, I'm going to sell it and donate everything to a cat shelter, whatever it is that you're planning on doing. Can you give us some kind of examples of the things that you've seen where people really should not be doing, and then some examples of things that people just, you know, rocked it. They just went, okay, here's my gap. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to increase the value of my business. And oh my goodness. So can you share some of those stories?
Yeah, and Denise, I think the main thing is the priorities and the goals of the business owner are unique to each business. So for some business owners, the family piece is going to be the most important thing. And for others, it's going to be, you know, income, for making sure that their income needs in retirement are addressed, or they're maximizing the current value of the business. Some business owners want to maximize the current value of the business because they want to sell to an outsider, you know, an outside third party. Other business owners who are maybe wanting to transition that to a family member, they want to minimize the value of the business and extract the value that they need to transition into retirement in other ways. So these are all considerations. You know, taxes are a big part of it. Insurance is a big part of it. Making sure that you're protecting yourself. You have a continuity plan so that if you are, if you die of a heart attack like that client that I had, he had no continuity plan. And what I mean by that is just very, it doesn't take long, but who do you want to run the business in your absence? You know, if something happened to you, even if you, like I had a situation recently where I was very sick very suddenly, and I was out of the office for a month. And so if that happens, even if you don't die, like if something happens, maybe you have a family emergency or you need to be gone for an extended period of time, who's going to run the business without you? And, you know, who are the main advisors, whether they be attorneys or CPAs or financial advisors that, you know, your family or your spouse should be in contact with should something happen to you? So those are all situations where, you know, the priorities and what's most important to the business really drive what's focused on and kind of where we go in that exit planning process.
So what at the top of the show, and I'm sorry you were sick. I'm glad you're back and you're better and you're here. That sounds terrible. So at the top of the show, you know, you mentioned somebody, you've seen businesses just walk off and leave millions of dollars on the table.
Yeah.
What the heck? I have to ask, what the heck is the thinking behind that? Were they, the planning just wasn't there, or they were worn out, or what happens in these situations?
Yeah, so this happened maybe it was 2 years ago now. So this wasn't a client of mine, not a client. It was just someone I knew personally. And he had a third generation business similar to the client that I had who passed away. But what ended up happening is his none of his family members, none of his kids, nieces, nephews, nobody in his family wanted to own the business. The business revolved around him. And so he had all of the key customer relationships, all of the key vendor relationships. And so there was, he had employees, but there was nobody internally that he had identified as someone who was willing and able to take over the business. So he kind of just kept going as it is and, you know, maintaining those relationships, not trying to bring in somebody who could take over that. And then what ended up happening is he got really close to retirement. He had enough assets outside of his business that he could retire and you know, provide that income stream that he needed. He was very close to collecting Social Security. So he just said, you know what, this is too much effort. I don't really want to go through this. But so I think that's what happens for the most part, is that business owners tend to be a little bit pessimistic. Like they don't really understand the path forward, and so they just kind of maintain the status quo. But then they get to a point where they're burned out, they don't want to be involved in the day-to-day, and they just say, you know what, I'm done. I could maybe get something for this. I could maybe transition this business to a third party or so. And he had a sellable business. It was a manufacturing business. They produced a product. There was value in that product. But he was just worn out, and that's what it came down to. And he didn't need to sell his business. But if he did sell his business, and that was his choice, he freely made that choice. But if he did sell his business, it was a little sad to me because it was a third generation business, and he literally just locked the door one last time and walked away.
So, he didn't even put it for sale on Craigslist. What a shame.
Yeah,
he had options.
Yeah, he did have options, but he was like, I'm done. So I think that's what happened.
Yeah,
you've been
working
in your business 20, 30 years, and you get to the point where you're just, the gas is empty.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think we all feel like that at some point. So what is your, I know you need to get out quickly for a client appointment, so I promised you we would go a little bit short on this. What is your best advice for people? We've covered a lot, but can you kind of condense it down so people go, oh, okay, this is where I need to start. This is what I need to start doing now, or at least think about starting to do.
Yeah, so definitely the first place to start is really, like you said, understanding where you are on the GPS, understanding your starting point. So if you go to truenorthra.com/valuemybusiness, you'll get the free checklist that gives you all the pieces of information to gather lifetime access to the valuation tools. So you can value your business today, and you can go back next year, and it's free. There's no strings attached. We actually pay several hundred dollars a month for access to this tool. So we eat that cost because we realize that how valuable this is in helping our business owners get unstuck and do the things that are going to be necessary to successfully exit their business. So it pays off for us in the long term, but we don't want any barriers to our clients to understand what their business is worth. So that's really the first step. You know, I guess I would just leave your audience with this, is that, you know, in our businesses, what we do every day, we get really good at. You know, and a lot of times, there are times when you might be tempted to do things on your own. I've had this happen with house DIY projects or things that I've tried on Pinterest that have just been colossal fails. So, you know, sometimes we're tempted to do these things and navigate these things on our own, but you're better off hiring an expert. And, you know, there are things that we only do occasionally, but there's somebody out there who does it every single day. So I always tell people, I do not care whether you work with me or not, but you are most likely only going to exit your business once. So nobody gets good at it. So
excellent.
I would suggest other, yeah.
Yeah, there's that old meme out there. I see it every once in a while. It's like, you think it was, I can't remember now. It's right in, I can almost see it, but it's like, you think this is expensive, wait until you hire somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. Or, you know, basically the message is hire a professional. I get that all the time as a web developer. Oh, well, you know, somebody said they could build my website for $250. How'd that work out for you? Just show me the site. I won't laugh out loud. But, you know, I mean, you're right. Hire professionals. Hire people that it's so easy for them. It's like breathing. Because that frees you up to do other things that are, you know, that bring in money, that in, you know, increase your creativity. Because when you're worried and you're panicked, and I've done the Pinterest thing too, I take pictures like, that's not what it looked like on Pinterest. What the heck?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it tastes good, but oh my God, it doesn't look tasty at all. But, you know, yeah, hire the professionals who can get you from where you're at right now, or at least advise you like you are doing in this podcast, and start looking. Now, I do have a quick question, because I am a solopreneur. I will always be a solopreneur. And I can guarantee you there are people who are listening to us right now who are virtual assistants, they're web developers, they're virtual service providers of some description, consultants, you know, coaches, whatever it is that they're doing. And they're probably thinking, I don't have employees, I just have a team. And my team right now is my husband. Oh my gosh, how in the world do I sell this? It's a knowledge business. So can you help with that?
Yeah,
I know it's a broad question, but I have no clue where to go with that.
I work in a service business as well, and it's challenging because you don't make a product. Everything is in your head. And so transitioning a service business is a bit trickier. And really the reality of the situation is, Denise, if the business always revolves around you, it's going to be very hard to have a sellable business. But so a lot of solopreneurs decide that. They say, you know what, one day I am going to just walk away from my business because I'm not willing to train the next generation, replace myself. You know, in order to transition out of your business and extract some sort of value from your business when you leave, you really do have to replace yourself. So if you're not able to or you're not willing to do that, a lot of business owners, they're just not willing. They're like, I really like the status quo. I like how it is. Then you still have options. It doesn't necessarily translate to selling your business for a lot more money, but you'll want to get serious about doing some other things that you can do within the business to make sure that you have enough financial resources. So that would be things like, you know, starting or maxing out a 401k plan if you're not doing that. You could have a non-qualified deferred compensation plan or a cash balance plan. These are all ways to save a lot of money for retirement that don't require you to scale up. It doesn't require you to bring on a team. It doesn't require you to grow the value of the business. They're all things that you do through the business. But the end result of that is that you're beefing up the level of assets that you have for retirement. And I think that's the best solution for a business owner who feels a little bit stuck in the sense that they're unwilling or unable to replace themselves. Because if you cannot replace yourself, you don't really have a business that's transferable. You just don't. It's extremely rare.
And I see this a lot in my industries, web development, consulting, you know, that type of thing. We are the business. We're the face of the business. It's our knowledge that we're actually sharing and selling. And how do you possibly sell that? So I've been, you know, kind of looking at that for the longest kind of time in an oblique kind of way. It's like, geez, you know, what's going to happen when I really do burn out and throw my monitor across the room? What's going to happen? And I could just about see it some days. No, I don't want to do this anymore. But what I'm hearing from you is what I've been thinking as well is you take the money, you take, you know, the earnings that you've got in that business, and you create external thing, you know, external financial gaps, I guess, or you close it, the external financial gaps by buying rental property, by investing in different things, and by making sure that your personal finances are up to par. Is that about right?
Yes, and through the business in a very tax-efficient way, a business owner, if they have the cash flow to do it, could save $1 million for retirement over the next 5 years. If they had really very profitable, strong cash flow, you know, I can show you how you can do that in a very tax-efficient way. And so if you – that would replace, say, I need to get $1 million in selling my business. See, so it's just we're still getting that source of assets, but we're just looking in a different place to get it.
Is that another conversation? Do you need to come back and we can plot that out?
Oh, yeah.
Because
I think
for people like me who work for ourselves, we need this information.
Yes, and through the retirement plan space where you have 401ks, profit-sharing plans, cash balance plans, non-qualified deferred comp, you can save a boatload of money for retirement as a business owner in a tax-efficient way. And because you're a business owner, you're not capped at like a $6,000 per year IRA contribution. You can save, several hundred thousand dollars for retirement in a very tax-efficient way. And I think most business owners, again, because no one's talking to them about this, almost nobody knows. I talk to CPAs about cash balance plans all the time, and many of them that I've talked to, if they haven't even heard of it, and if they have, they don't really know much about it. But it's a powerful, tax-efficient way for business owners who are very close to retirement to accelerate their savings and get a huge tax deduction for their business when they do that. So, yeah,
definitely,
maybe
that's
to come a little
back.
Planting the seed for another conversation.
Definitely. I know you've got to run, so I'm going to send you the link and have you reschedule again, but that's a conversation that must be had. So, I'm looking forward to it. Well, listen, Ashley, before you run, where can people find you on the web one more time and mention the free checklist link again?
Sure. So the free checklist is available at TrueNorthRA.com/volume my business. And actually all of my, when you go to that website, you can also link back to our main webpage where all my contact information is. My email address is on there, our phone number is on there, and links to all, I do YouTube videos almost every week on exit planning and retirement topics. So there's a lot of ways that people can get in touch with me and stay connected.
And you also have an Amazon Alexa show called 1 Minute Retirement Tips, which I haven't gone to look for yet. It's next on my list.
I do, and that's on Alexa. So if you just search for that, if you use an Alexa device, it's also on iTunes and Google Play as well. So if you search for the 1 Minute Retirement Tip, I will talk in your ear every single day about, including Saturdays and Sundays, about retirement tips. So that's more on the generalist side. It's not so much focused on business owners, but it's something that, you know, everyone needs to hear. And they're short. They're usually 2 to 4 minutes every day. So it's little shots in the arm to get you thinking about retirement every day.
That is excellent. Ashley, thank you so much. It has been a genuine pleasure speaking with you, and my brain is whirling. And I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with our audience, and I really look forward to having you come back. So before we say goodbye, definitely you have to come back. And you see I did this on the show, so you can't tell me no. Tricky, huh? So anyway, before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for your partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Ashley, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.